You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. So the government's $231 million boost for breakthrough technology has drawn praise for being a step forward, but scientists, researchers, and academics have criticised the risks involved. And they've criticised how the money was reallocated. I spoke to Professor Nicola Gaston from the University of Auckland about the investment and the potential opportunities it will create. How significant is this $231 million investment for funding advanced technologies? And are there any gaps in the investment?
Yeah, so it's massively significant. It's obviously a big chunk of money, and it's been a piece of work that's been coming for a long time. So it sort of started with reforming the science sector under the old government, and then this government came in and they've changed a bit, and they've had a whole external review process around it. And so this is kind of the last piece of those reforms. But the key thing I think it's really worth pointing out is that it's not $200 million that's come out of nowhere. Obviously, this government has said multiple times that there's no new money for anything. And so this $200 and something million, it has been reallocated effectively from other parts of the science system. So there's a piece of it that used to go to Callaghan Innovation that's been wrapped into this. There's a piece of it that is still going to go to the New Zealand Product Accelerator, which does sort of work with industry to get technologies or to support industry with modern technologies. There's a piece of it that was already announced 2 months ago that comes out of what's called a Strategic Science Investment Fund, so an SSIF or SIF fund. So that's a big chunk of money that was announced 2 months ago that would go to Robinson Institute in Wellington to do research in advanced technologies. And then there's a big chunk of it that we don't know exactly, I don't think, where it's coming from yet. But the government did cancel one of the big science funding rounds this year, the Endeavour Fund, which funds sort of most of our sort of physical science, engineering-y type research that is in this advanced technology space. So the assumption I'm working on is that some of that money is what's going to make this budget up to the 200 and something million. So yeah, so it's massive. It's a big reconfiguration of our system, but in principle, the money is still existing money. It's still current jobs, current scientists. It's just all being reconfigured how it's going to work.
And a lot of people are concerned about some of the focuses being on AI and synthetic biology. Are there any ethical risks with funding these two areas?
Oh, absolutely. The devil is completely in the detail in terms of what the money actually gets spent on. I think it's worth pointing out, though, that the government just puts out press releases that say advanced technologies such as quantum AI and synthetic biology. And in principle, the government isn't and shouldn't be choosing what technologies this institute is going to work on. There is actually, as part of these system reforms, there's a Prime Minister's There used to be a Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor, and now there's a council. I won't try and get the acronym right. But there's a council, including John Roche, who is the Prime Minister's Science Advisor, including Sir Peter Gluckman, who used to be John Key's Chief Science Advisor way back when. So there's a council of people who are supposed to get together and actually decide and give advice to the government on what kind of technologies this institute should be doing. And so once that advice comes out, I would expect there to be a lot more depth to the description of what specific technologies this institute is going to work on. There is work around AI that's important for us to do in New Zealand, but you know, hopefully it will be substantive work that actually helps us to, you know, to really contribute to what's a developing field internationally, rather than just, you know, create additional large language models or whatever else is the current fashion, let's say. So yes, so this, the science it's doing should be, and of course we'll see how this actually works in practice, but it should be informed by scientific advice.
And what job opportunities or risks to already existing jobs will this pose for scientists and researchers in New Zealand?
Yeah, so that's a really big one. So any reconfiguration of the system means there's potential for job losses. Some of that has already happened with Callaghan Innovation being shut down in Wellington. Some of those jobs look like they're going to be sort of made part of this new organisation, but not many of those. There have also been massive job losses across our universities, across our research sector for the last 2 to 3 years. And, you know, there's no prospect of making up for those. So we're already sort of in a slightly struggling system. And as I already said, there's no new money here. So what is interesting about this institute, and it's different from the other three public research organisations that have been set up around like the bioeconomy and earth sciences, etc., the advanced technologies one, they seem to understand that the expertise exists in our university sector, and so they're going to be contracting researchers who already work in our universities, I think by and large, in order to deliver the research that they want to support through this institute. So it's going to be a kind of different model to what we've seen before. And there are still quite a lot of questions about how that's going to work and how they're going to connect things up in a good way. But hopefully they will be able to bring researchers together from across the country to make it really a national institute that builds on the capability that we already have in the country.
And do you think that this will serve as an example for other smaller nations to punch above their weight in terms of high-tech innovation?
If it works as a model, then sure. I think, as I said, the jury's a little bit out on how that works. I think we do have some good examples of cross-country collaboration. Obviously, the institute I lead, the McDiarmid Institute, is a national centre of research excellence, and so we bring researchers together from everywhere, from Auckland to Otago, and we've been doing that for 20-something years. So there are examples of this working. I definitely hope it works. The big query, though, is what was recommended in the Scientific Review report that came out last year, which really told the government that, yes, reforming the system is good, but if you want to be competitive with the rest of the world, you have to increase investment. And so that definitely has not been listened to by this government. We'll have to see how much we can do without additional funding, because there are definitely inefficiencies in a system that doesn't have enough money, because, you know, people fall through the gaps sometimes because they're on, you know, short-term contracts, especially at early career stages. And then we end up losing people from the system, either because they go overseas or because they leave science. And so there are definitely inefficiencies in having a system that's a little bit too small, and that's where I would argue that we still are. So we'll have to see.
That was the University of Auckland's Nicola Gaston about the government's recent breakthrough tech boost.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.